want to do before I even say anything is this. If there are some points that God has spoken to you as I'm speaking, can you commit to doing something about it? Because if we don't do anything about it, what's the point? You see what I mean? So if God does speak, do something with it. And that's wisdom. And if we don't, it's a dangerous thing then, because I get concerned that it's been ineffective. We don't want to be ineffective. Now, what I wanted to speak on this morning was from the Bible, and I want to speak about being positive. But when people mention the word positivity, there can be a shallow aspect to it. Oh, you know, just be positive and think positive and be. I'm not talking about the shallow stuff. I'm not interested in the shallow stuff. I've looked at it, and I believe that there is a tremendous biblical depth to this, and that I'll share some Bible verses that highlight this. But I believe the more Bible verses you study on it, the clearer it becomes. It's very important to have a positive mindset in life. Now, if you've been listening to the news, how negative are things at the moment sounding? I mean, there's wildfires, terrible fires going on. There's terrible bombs and the Gaza situation and that. Oh, I can't even look at it. What's happening there to the little families that chill? I can't look at it anymore. It upsets me too much. I can't. It's awful. It's awful what's going on. And what happens is the KGB, and yeah, I was once invited to work. Let me just say this. The KGB have a plan. And when they have a plan to enter into an area, the KGB's plan used to be, and going back a while, the KGB's plan was not anymore to throw bombs into a country to demoralize the country. They found out that they didn't need to do that. That's all they needed to do was spread ideas. And if you spread enough negative ideas, you demoralize the country, and they're conquered. It only takes a generation to demoralize a country. So a country can be captured by being demoralized through ideas. Now then, what's happening now? If you look at the news, it is demoralizing. Everything is negative. You think that the government is entirely incompetent. It's like every straightforward choice you could make for good. So they do the opposite. It's an incredible thing to me. It's like every choice, it seems, they seem to do the opposite of what is righteous and good. Oh, they'll go the other way. Now, if you think about that for too long, it's demoralizing. It'll demoralize people. So what do we do in the light of this? You feel like, well, you should really get involved in politics. I should really do. Well, listen, God may call some people to do that. But let me tell you what we should do for certain. For certain, we should adopt a biblical perspective as we walk through life. Because I promise you, unless we have a biblical perspective, all of these things that are roadblocks in the way, that are trespasses in our way, could possibly trip us up, could get us off track, could get us focusing in the wrong direction. There's so many things coming at us, so much negativity, so much foolishness, utter foolishness coming our way. Young children in school, the right through to pensioners. Everyone seems to be hit by the foolishness that's coming our way, it seems. But for Christians, we have a different, an entirely different perspective, or at least we're meant to have. See, the Bible was written in times, don't forget, and the New Testament was shaped through times when people had God as their focus. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find in the book of Acts that there was a rhythm to daily life which involved going to the temple to pray. God was intrinsically involved in the everyday life of the people of the New Testament. And so what's happened in our society is, if you have God intrinsically involved in your everyday, you're an oddbod. You're an oddbod. Oh, you're one of those Christians. Oh, you believe the Bible. You're one of those Bible bashers, are you? You're an oddbod if that's what you believe. I tell you, I'm glad to be an oddbod in this society. I'm really pleased. Yeah, I stick out. Yeah, I'm different. Yeah, totally. Yes. As far out as I can get, the better. If it's good, and if it's of God, and if it's separate. Because the Bible says, actually, you know, the word for church is those who were called to be separate. That's the origins of the word church. It doesn't refer to a building. It's referred to people who are called to be separate. We're separate in that sense because we have a different mindset, an entirely different mindset. We're not going along with a mindset that is secular, worldly, demoralizing. We're not cowing down to that. We've got a different perspective, and I'm so happy to have it. And I'm totally unapologetic for it. I mean, that's what we have. And you know, what I found is, and this is the interesting thing, I found that people really like that mindset when they get it, because it's a positive mindset. It's a hopeful mindset. It's an uplifting mindset that we have, that we're called to have. We're the people of hope. We're the people who are buoyant. We're the people who you can't keep down. Anyone remember the Weebles? The Weebles were a top. Hands up if you remember the Weebles. Okay, look, there's two people, three people, four people. People are admitting it. The Weebles were a toy in the 1970s, and they were sort of round with a very heavy bass. And you could knock them, but they'd always come back up. And the song was, Weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. We're like the Weebles. Weebles wobble, but we won't fall down. We just keep getting up. We just keep going. We may have had some discouragement last week. I may have been disappointed with myself last week. I may have been disappointed with myself this morning. I may not have done things perfect. But guess what? Christians wobble, but they don't fall down. We just keep getting back up. Why? Greater is He in us than he that is in the world. That's why. It's Christ who's in us. He really is in us. And He causes us to be victorious. He's the power in our lives. He's the one who gets us up and gets us going. And then, you see, what we are is, you may not be aware of this, but I want to encourage you. If you're living with a Christ perspective, I want to tell you this. Young people in schools, okay, the ones in school, okay, if you're living with a Christ perspective, your friends will notice. Because God is on our side, and God is using you to encourage your family, your friends, the people who are looking to you. They say, there's something different. I don't know what it is. Something different. It's Christ in you that they can see. And that goes for each one of us, by the way. People look at us, they say there's something different. And it's Christ in us. Something is wonderfully happening in the Christian life. And it doesn't matter how crazy things get. Greater is he in us than he that is in the world. And therefore, this morning, okay, I wanted us to focus on five steps of faith very quickly. I want us to embrace an optimistic mindset. It's a choice. The enemy comes to make us discouraged, defeated, downcast, you know, gloomy. Oh, it'll never happen. Nothing ever good. You know the sort of things. Listen, each one of us is prone to that type of thinking. Am I right, everyone? Can you relate to where I'm coming from? Listen, in myself, I'm the most, not left to my own devices, I'm the most negative type of person. I'm so negative. Honestly, this doesn't come natural to me. Don't think I'm naturally this way. I come from a family. Sometimes I hope my, you know, it's just, I don't know, some Welsh people, they have it in them. I don't know if it's peculiar to Welsh people. It's peculiar to everyone. But there's certain nuances peculiar to the Welsh. I remember one time, you know, I went to London one time. My grandmother, when she was alive, my mum, they wanted to go shopping to London. And they live in South Wales. And I was living in London. So my grandmother, who was a warrior, she was a lovely lady, my grandmother. And she's so, I love my grandmother so much. We were close. And beautiful lady. And she was a believer. And but she had this propensity to worry. So they checked into the hotel in Uxbridge in London. And I went to meet them. Well, no, it wasn't Uxbridge. It was Chiswick, right, just by Chiswick there. And so they're by Chiswick in London, West London, and I went to meet them in the hotel. And I go and we have a nice, you know, we embrace each other and everyone's happy and everything. We have a little chat. We have a cup of tea. And then my mum says, I just fancy going to explore the shops and everything. And my grandmother says, well, don't be long. So my mum goes. And my mum goes, and after about a quarter of an hour, my grandmother turns to me. She says, where's your mum? She should be back by now. And I said, she's okay now. She's just gone. So it's not been that long. It's just a quarter of an hour. So the shop's only 2 minutes. She said, where is she? After 20 minutes, she said, where's your mum? Something's happened. Something's happened. She said, your mum should be back by now. Something has definitely happened. After about half an hour, she said, your mum has been attacked. And I know something's happened. She's been attacked. And you go and find out. Call the police. We need to go and do so. She's been attacked. This is a real, and I said, oh, maybe she's right. Yeah, she's been attacked. If I find out who's attacked my mom, I'm going to smash their face in. If anyone dares to attack my mom, I'm going to go out of the hotel. I walk out of the hotel. I'm like walking on the street like a fierce man. And I'm looking around. I see my mom coming up. And my mom said, where have you been? I said, where have you been? Oh, where have you been? She said, I've been to the shops. I said, I'll go to the shops. Just there for... I said, but we thought you'd been attacked. She said, why? I thought you'd been attacked. She said, why would you think we'd been attacked? I said, just been to the shops. I said, but Nana's told me that you were late, that we were a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour. We were convinced you were attacked. She was looking at me as if I'd gone, lost my mind. I said, you're right, ma'am. I said, why did Nan do that? And so we both went back to the hotel room and said, Nan, why did you convince me that ma'am has been attacked? She just went to the shops. And it's like that with us. You know, we can think on a thing so much and we build it up in our minds. And it's this, and it's this. And you talk to someone else and then they build it, and they build it. And the next thing you know, you're in a blind panic. And the Lord is saying to us, stop. Don't do it to yourselves. Don't do that. Instead, focus your minds now. Be steady in your thinking and be focused and be disciplined. And be disciplined in five steps. And the first one I mentioned is the power of belief. Because there's a biblical foundation for this. It says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. We heard Philippians being read earlier. And it says that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, belief is the foundation of success. If you believe that you can achieve something, the mind will find ways to make it happen. And that's exactly what happens in reverse through the illustration that I just gave. You see, it happens in reverse. If you can think of something that's taking place, you actually end up feeling that thing. You feel like it's really happened. And so God is saying to us, no, don't do that. Live with a perspective that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible for me and my family. God is with us. Amen. You know, imagine the person, for example, who believes they'll be successful in their career. They approach challenges with confidence. And you know, they persist through setbacks. They create opportunities. And their belief takes them to points of action. That's someone who believes that they're going to create a success. But someone who doesn't. The first step is just belief. It's a decision to believe. I choose to be positive. Naturally, you'll drift towards the negative. That'll happen to each one of us. Naturally, we drift towards the negative. And so we have to make a choice for this type of mindset. This mindset is a choice. It really is a choice, but it's a choice that'll make a dramatic impact into our future. This choice will shape your future. Your future is shaped through what you think today. So the thoughts that you think today, let me know your thoughts today. I'll tell you where you're heading. And your thoughts then, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, now they're gaining momentum. Now it can be momentum this way or momentum this way. The choice is ours. Are you with me, everyone? So point one, very important, the power of belief. Point two, the role of positive thinking in overcoming fear. Romans 8, 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, one of the biggest obstacles to achieving success is fear. And positive thinking can help eliminate fear and replace it with confidence and courage. You know, someone may be afraid to speak in public, but through positive thinking, they tell themselves, I am able to do it. And gradually, they overcome that fear. It happens by them speaking to themselves. And in God, they say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not live in fear, whatever the situation is. You know, fear is that belief in the worst case scenario very often, or lesser case scenarios. But faith is a belief in those best case scenarios or the possibilities. And again, it's a choice. We're in the middle. We have a choice to go one way or the other. And so I encourage us all this morning to have a positive mindset. The power of prayer and faith, point three. In Matthew 21, 22, there's a beautiful verse. I like this verse so much. I commissioned a man to make a necklace for me in the form of a circle, and I had this written around it: believe and receive. Matthew 21, 22. This is such a powerful verse. It says this: and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, faith in God provides immense strength, peace, and guidance. Exercising that faith in God causes those things to multiply as we assess what we're doing from moment to moment in our life. We have to make decisions by the second in life. And those many thousands of decisions we have to make every day are impacted by the perspective that we carry into those decisions. Are you with me? So if we choose a positive mindset based on scriptures, based on things like Matthew 21, 22, what happens is those ideas, those thousands of ideas, are impacted with a positive perspective. Some of the ideas have small consequences, some might have big consequences, but all of them are impacted either positively or negatively by our mindset. Picture a person going through life in a tough situation. Let's say they've lost their job, let's say. And instead of reacting in the negative and being deflated and complaining to God and say, why has this happened to me? I was praying. I was trying my best. Instead of all of that, they say, I trust that I will find a better opportunity. I trust that something better is coming along. It helps them remain calm, doesn't it? It's optimistic through the uncertainty. And you know that when they go to an interview, if they're desperate and whining and whinging and they're not going to come across very well. But if they have that positive, upbeat, uplifting type of attitude, yes, people like that, you know. You know, this is the amazing thing. Despite all of the negative stuff that we're hearing, all of the negative, downbeat stuff, people really like to hear from positive people. Positive people draw the attention. People need that. I've met some people who've been really glum, you know. And I think when I met them, I was thinking, oh, they're part of the glum crowd. And I'm deliberately positive and buoyant with them. And what I find is that it really switches them on. It's happened many times. They've been switched on. And it draws a smile and it draws a hopeful conversation. People are longing to hear from people with this type of believing mindset. One of the things that happened to me yesterday is in point four, visualization and mental rehearsal. Now look, Proverbs 29:18 says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. It says, let me read something else. From Joel 2:28, it says, then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. They'll see visions. But Ephesians 1:18 in the New Testament, it says this beautiful verse. It says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Glory to God. It's powerful stuff. And visualizing these things is so powerful. You know, one of the things that I do is I speak to a man who oversees chaplains, and he has he meets with people from time to time, and he encourages them, sports chaplains in particular, and he encourages those sports people to have visualization, to use visualization as a key component of their training, in fact. And yesterday, I had an interesting time. In fact, let me just tell you what happened. Because yesterday, we went to, anyone heard of a man called Tommy Fleetwood? Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood. He's the world's number 9 ranked golfer. And he happens to come from Liverpool. And we took Samuel there because Samuel has joined Tommy Fleetwood's academy. So as we went there, I said, look, let's go early. It was in a place called Formby. So we went to Formby, and we went there nice and early. And we went in, and we enjoyed a little bit of time looking around and seeing. And then we met the trainer there. And this man was in charge of training all the juniors, you know, for the day. And he said, hello. He said, my name's Norman. And I said, hello, Norman. We had a little chat. And Norman said, well, he said, I've... Beautiful music. Is the music putting you off? You're okay. Yeah, no, I'm sort of okay with it, but I just wanted to check. Because it's a good story. I don't want it to be spoiled. I'm not going to spoil the story. I'm going to get it. We're going to find out what's going on. Yeah, you think? Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, she's enjoying herself. Is it better with or without? So I speak to Tommy, okay? I speak to Tommy, and we get talking, and he said, oh, have you ever played golf? I find out that I spoke to Norman, and he was telling me that he was Tommy Fleetwood's coach when he was a little boy. And Tommy Fleetwood has now asked him to run the academy. I said, that's tremendous. I said, that's wonderful. He said, oh, yeah. He said it's wonderful. We just opened up our academy in Dubai as well. And he said, things are really going well. He said, it's wonderful to see the youngsters playing. And he said to me, have you ever played golf? I said, oh, yes. I said, yes, I used to play. I said, as a junior. I said, I haven't played for a while, but I used to play as a junior. He said, oh, he said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, I used to play with some boys who became pros, in fact. And I said, a couple of them, one was Stephen Dodd, and one was a bloke called Philip Price. He said, Philip Price? He said, when I was a junior, he said, I saw Philip Price throw the ball down, take a one iron out, hit a one iron, and he shaped the ball to go around the bunker on this par 4 opening hole. He said, as soon as I saw him do that, I said, I'm going to be a golf professional. He said, and he's the one inspired me through that shot to become a golf professional. He said, and then I became a pro. And he said, I always think of that one shot. And it was after that shot that I said, I'm going to be a golf pro. And he said, and you know, that was the start of it. I said, wow. I said, that's amazing. And we get talking a little bit more. And I said, well, I'm a minister. He said, you're a minister. He said, and he tells me a little bit about his, and we have a chat. And we have a great rapport. And he's going to be coming around the house. We're going to have a coffee. We're going to continue our conversation because we could have talked all day long. It was wonderful. But here's the thing. He visualized the shot. And when he was teaching the boys yesterday, he was telling them to visualize the shots that they're hitting. And they had a competition. And it was about measuring their ability to visualize how far they're hitting it. And they had a computer measuring how far they were hitting the balls. And it was a tremendous thing. But it all started, his journey to becoming a professional golfer started with visualization. The power of visualization. And if you visualize yourself doing something and hold it, you have inside of you, and God put it there. God put an internal, it's like an internal satellite navigation system, a GPS system. I'm telling you the truth, everyone. If you put that picture inside of yourself on what you want to do, and there's something that God has given you, especially true, this is for God-given things. So things that are worthy, a worthy thing to do. Not just any old nonsense, but a worthy thing that God could bless. If you hold that thing inside of you and keep visualizing that thing, I'm telling you, your GPS system, that internal system with prayer, with reliance on God, it'll take you to that destiny. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I was able to share with him, and I'm going to share my book with him when I see Norman. Because in my book, there's a great golf testimony. Anyone read my book and hear the golf testimony? I hope you have. The Cybernetics of Faith, where, you know, I win the golf tournament. And Gary Nicholas is presenting me with a trophy. And Jason Mohammed from the BBC. And I'm there. We won the tournament. How did I do that? Visualization. So I'm not talking about theory, everyone. I'm talking about I've experienced this. So in many different realms, but that's the best example appropriate to this testimony today. And it's a wonderful thing. So what is it? But you see, in order to do that, you've got to have a picture in your mind. You've got to have a target to aim for. And then that brings us to this. If we're talking about positive thinking, usually that's related to success in life. Well, what is success? How do you define success? Is it by the money that you earn? No. Is it by your position and prestige? Hey, we know some famous people, don't we? We've seen them on the news. Is that success? No way. There's no success. I believe, here's a good definition of success. Success is the achievement of a worthy, godly goal. So if you're a school teacher and you aimed to be a school teacher and you want to really transmit your knowledge into those children, you are a flying success if you're doing that. You're top notch. You are a real success. You're a real high achiever. If you're doing that, that's what you aim for. That's what you wanted to do. That's the epitome of success. It's not fame and it's not fortune. Success. And as we pray throughout the day, ask God, you know, where's God? What's he got for you? Where's he putting you? Because, you know, God wants you to have targets in your life. Have a target to aim for. And then as you pray daily, you include that in your prayer. You're moving towards that direction. Don't be just aimlessly wandering through life. Have a target, have an aim, and go for that thing. Are you with me, everyone? And you can have that, you know. It doesn't have to be a job. It could be influence over people. It could be someone that you're trying to reach. It could all sorts of things could be in that. We don't have time to go into all of them, but it's a wonderful thing. And the fifth one I want to just mention briefly here, as our time is almost up here, but the fifth one is the importance of healthy relationships and a positive environment. Don't hang around with the naysayers. Don't hang around with people who are negative, and negative people and doubters and people like that. Don't give them your best time. You know, many years ago, you know, I made a decision a long, long, long time ago that I wasn't going to hang around with people who just tolerated me. There were some people, you know, they just sort of tolerated. I don't know what it was. They were some other people. I don't know. I thought, no, I'm going to hang around with people who, in fact, they celebrate me and they're positive towards me. If people don't celebrate you, don't hang around with them. Don't invest your best into those sorts of people. No, invest your best into people who are going to believe with you and are going to celebrate you and your successes, who are going to be wanting the best for you. Philippians 4:8, we heard it earlier, didn't we? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So surround yourself with positive influences and people who will uplift you. A negative environment can sap your energy and undermine your positive thinking. You know, if you spend time with people who are pessimistic and critical, their negativity will rub off on you. There's no question, that's what happens. You've heard the old saying, birds of a feather, what do? They flock together. But on the other hand, associating with supportive and optimistic, positive individuals, it can enhance your outlook. So I believe that those 5 points there are great keys to living the best life, being the best that we can be, and achieving what God's called us to achieve. Having that positive mindset. Are you with me this morning, everyone? You know, I had these notes made out. So if anyone would like notes on this sermon this morning, I'm going to ask Sonny to, in fact, photocopy a few. Would you do that, Sonny? And make them available. So perhaps when we have teas and coffees, we can, if anyone wants them, just speak to Sonny and she could get those to you, the 5 points and a synopsis. Let's stand, shall we, everyone? We're going to sing this last hymn here as another confession for the day. We look to the year ahead, and we're so thankful, and we're so positive, we're so thankful that God has made a way for us. Our lives are going to be good this year. Our lives will be blessed this year. And we can be confident in that. That's not to say that hard things don't happen. They always will. That's a promise. That's a promise of the scripture. Hard times are there. But God has created Christians who are the people who can never fall down. We may wobble a bit, but we won't fall down. Amen. Let's sing together. Yeah.